Good morning. Well, it's quite a long reading today. We're reading the eschatological material that is dealt with in all of the synoptics in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we'll review some of the thoughts that we had last time we encountered this teaching from Jesus. Jesus, remember, is in Jerusalem. He's teaching in the temple courts. And he's dealing with questions and comments from the crowd, but he's also making sure that his disciples have the right frame of reference for understanding their lives as he goes to the cross, as they experience the resurrection, and as they await the power of the Holy Spirit to equip each of them and all of them to take the mission of Jesus into the world. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 21 and verse 5, and we're going to read all the way through to verse 28. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." So these are incredibly important words for Jesus and the disciples. And they're very important words for Luke. Luke is by now maybe already aware of the zealot uprising in Jerusalem and across the Holy Land. It may already be very clear to the Jewish authorities that their time is drawing near, and it may be very clear to the Roman authorities before whom Paul is standing trial, that there's really only one solution for the situation in what they call Palestine, and that is to release the armies of Rome to quell the insurrection that's taking place. These are devastatingly important moments. And the things that Luke is relating from the words of Jesus are words that will be fulfilled in the lifetime of pretty much everybody who reads these words for the first time. And so it's tremendously important that Luke writes them, as it's important that Matthew and Mark do the same. But for us, of course, we're looking at these and we're saying, well, Jesus hasn't returned. Yes, Jerusalem has fallen. Yes, the Holy Land has been depopulated. And yes, the Jews have returned to Israel. And so there's clearly a sense in which some of these things have been fulfilled and quite a lot of them haven't. And on previous occasions, when we looked at material like this, I've suggested a particular way of understanding how to frame, how to understand, how to apprehend what it is that's going on in this eschatological material, this material that talks about the end times, the last days, and the return of Christ. And the first thing to say is that the last days began with the resurrection, ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. So in that envelope of time where Jesus is raised from the dead, he ascends into heaven, and he and the Father send the Holy Spirit upon the church, that marks the beginning of the end times. The end times begin with the work of Jesus being fulfilled and end with the return of Jesus being consummated. So the kingdom is working its way in the world like yeast in a dough, like this almost invisible mustard seed that's growing and becoming this great plant. The kingdom of God is continuing to grow and to penetrate every layer of society in every part of the world. And that's the work that it's supposed to do. That's the work that it's intended to do. And that's the work that we bear witness to and that we seek to propagate and encourage. And we're waiting for the return of Christ. And in many different parts of the world, many of these kind of apocalyptic events, signs in the heavens, signs on the earth, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquake, trouble and difficulty, the persecution of the church, are taking place already. So how are we supposed to view these things? Obviously, today is one day closer to the return of Christ than yesterday was. But how do we view all of these different things? Because it would appear as though in our view of history, these great events that seem to speak of the imminent return of Christ occur periodically. And it seems as though one of those periods is a period that we're entering into now. Well, I suggested that we understand the way that prophecy like this works in Scripture is as a kind of spiral. That if you think of yourself walking on a spiral staircase inside the tower of a castle, say, and that tower of the castle has windows at certain points on the spiraling staircase as it ascends towards its conclusion and its end on the roof. So the spiral staircase spirals upwards, and there are little windows at exactly the same point, only higher up on the tower. And some of the windows look across verdant countryside and beautiful scenes. But one particular window at the same point on the spiral and on the wall of the tower looks out on apocalyptic scenes. Now, the first time in history that we went around that spiral, we looked out of the window and we see the fall of Jerusalem and the coming of the Roman armies. The next time we come around, we perhaps see the fall of Rome and the cataclysm that occurs as the Roman Empire begins to fall apart. The next time we come around, we see the collapse of the Holy Roman Empire and the beginnings of the Reformation. The next time we come around, perhaps we see world wars, wars that rend the nations. The next time we come around, we encounter the world as we see it now, a world that seems to be groaning under the weight and the burden of the coming age. Well, of course, as we go around that spiral staircase, looking out of a window that is higher but on the same side of the tower, we're looking at the same scenes, perhaps getting a slightly different perspective, but we're moving towards the conclusion of the spiraling staircase, which is the roof of the tower, which will be the point at which the end of history occurs and Jesus returns. So that's the best picture that I can come up with to explain how periodically throughout history Christians and others have looked at the circumstances of the world and expected the return of Christ, and he hadn't returned. So what else should we say about all of this? Well, I think the first thing to say is this, that history attests to what it is that Jesus tells his disciples, and that is, no one knows the hour or the time of the return of Jesus. But the events that surround us should warn us, should encourage us, and should help us to focus our minds so that we can prepare. And how do we do that? Well, Jesus says, I think, two big things that perhaps are enormously important. He says in verse 14, make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. That's a hugely important thing. It's a hugely important thing. It's important that we have already made up our mind not to worry. And in that way, we're not going to get caught out worrying when we see the catastrophic events that surround us even today. We're choosing beforehand not to worry. And how do you do that? Well, you choose beforehand not to worry by choosing beforehand to remember in whose hands you are found and in whose plan your life is being unfolded. Our lives are being unfolded within the plan of God, and our God is our Father, and he loves us. And so we choose not to worry. The second thing that Jesus said, which I think is incredible, in verse 28 he said, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads. In other words, be alert, be ready, and don't look at what it is that you might lose. Look to what it is that you might gain, because it says this, because your redemption is drawing near. Let me just read that again. I think it's amazing. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. If, like me, you look at the world and you say, wow, how long can this go on for? Then stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. It's a completely different spin on the apocalyptic view that so many people have. I mean, the dystopian futures that are found in every movie, the apocalyptic expectations of so many things that you find on television, all of those are based upon a collective anxiety about what might happen in the future. Here's the thing. Today we can make up our minds not to worry. Today, if we see these gathering events indicating the return of Christ, then we stand up. We lift up our heads, because for those who are the children of the living God, these events tell us that redemption is near. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, thank you that you are bringing the world to its conclusion so that the new world can begin. And thank you, Lord, that you've already decided that your children will populate that new world. And you've chosen us and called us and named us as children. And so this day, Lord, we choose not to worry. This day, Lord, we choose to stand up. This day, Lord, we choose to lift up our heads, because we expect the day of redemption. Amen.